Hello and welcome to Unlock Your Vitality with Magalie on a Journey. I'm your host, Magalie Matthew. Here we cover all things vitality, that is living full of energy. From gut health to spirituality, nutrition to movement, we peel back the layers and unlock ways to heal and feel our best selves, one conscious habit at a time. Stick around, let's dive on in. I'm so excited you're here. Hello, friends, and welcome to a beautiful new episode of the show. I am really excited about today's episode. Oh my gosh, the tech gods were with us. I actually changed platforms and I'm super happy so far with how it's going. So let's see. I wanted to share some very exciting news before we get on. Some of you might have already seen it in my social, but I have been really questioning my Reiki practice and how to actually work in the holistic and the coaching into some of the sessions that I've had with my Reiki clients and vice versa. So I share this in my Substack, but in my coaching practice, I've really seen great results into whether it's transitioning into new careers, unlocking new health goals, business plan happening, and healing relationships with themselves, with each other, with other partners, really connecting to themselves. And then in my Reiki practice, I've had clients reconnect with loved ones who've passed, feel and see things from their subconscious, heal physical injuries, and also just like let go and get a really, really deep rest. And so I had a thought, what if I merge these two magical practices? And it really feels like the perfect union of the masculine and the feminine, of the doing and the being, of the controlling and the letting go, the yin and the yang. Because in the coaching, it's very much like understanding and then giving tools and resources for people to change and for people to really take action. Whereas the Reiki is receiving, it's just receiving and letting go. And in my own personal life, I really needed to work on both of those things. So I am opening sessions. I have three that are open in April and I have two that are left. And it's for my integrated wellness, Reiki healing and holistic coaching. And so during these sessions, we'll nurture both your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being through gentle touch and energy alignment of Reiki healing combined with personalized holistic coaching. You will truly embark on a transformative journey to balance and harmony. These sessions integrate ancient healing practices with modern coaching techniques. And the idea is really to address your unique needs, to foster deep relaxation, clarity, and leave you feeling really, really empowered. So if you're interested, I'll add the info in the show notes, but come experience profound healing and guidance as you navigate towards holistic wellness and self-discovery. So I hope to see some of you. I can't wait. I'm having my first one next Tuesday. I'm so, so excited. Now on to this week's episode. We are with Mabel. She is an integrative nutritionist and health coach based in New York City. She empowers corporate women to ditch diets and enjoy foods that nourish, I love it, nourish their lifestyle and well-being, rekindling their confidence and guiding them to reconnect with their whole and vibrant selves. This conversation, guys, was so flowy. It was so fun. She is an amazing health expert, also with a beautiful personal journey, and I think you're absolutely going to love it. So enjoy this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the show. I am so excited for today's guest. Welcome, Mabel, to the show.
Hello.
I'm so excited for us to record this today. Let's start with, can you introduce yourself and share a little bit more about your journey and what brought you to who you are today?
Sure. So I'll try to keep it concise, but I am a chatter.
We like that.
So I'm Mabel. I am an integrative nutritionist and health coach, and I empower women to ditch dieting and choose foods that fuel their lifestyle and well-being so that they can live their most vibrant lives.
That's so beautiful. I'm really curious how, I know that we both did IAN. That was something we found out when we chatted previously, which is really exciting. But how did this journey like find you? I know a lot of times we have a personal story that kind of weaves into why we do the work that we do.
Yes. And I remember previously, well, it's still fairly recent. I had done a speech about it. So this is still fresh in my mind. So basically, I guess like I'll walk you through a little bit of my background. So I was born like naturally thin to two immigrant parents from the Dominican Republic. And so basically when I was younger, like, you know, my parents both worked like long jobs and I would rely on like fast food, junk food, and like sometimes my mom's cooking. I was really picky as a child as well. So like, I never learned, you know, the foundations of nutrition. So until I went to college and I put on the dreadful freshman 15, I remember, but I didn't know. So I remember coming home and I was getting ready to go out with my girlfriends and I like put on my favorite pair of jeans and they weren't buttoning. Like the top button wasn't buttoning. I'm like, okay, this is weird. And so I tried on another pair and same thing. So like I went over to my mom. I'm like, Mom, like what's going on? Like, did I gain weight? And so she looks at my sister and I'm like, what? And she's like, Mija, like you did gain weight. Like I didn't want to tell you. I didn't know how to tell you. I'm like, okay, like now what? And she's like, well, you need to go on a diet. And it was just like an innocent comment. And like, you know, just being from Hispanic background, that's a very like natural thing. I mean, it is really prevalent here in the United States as well, but that was just like what you did if you put on weight. So I remember I like canceled my plans that night and I was looking up the quickest way to lose like, you know, 10, 15 pounds in a week, which for the record, healthy weight loss is like 2 pounds a week at most. So that was like just outrageous. And so I decided on the grapefruit diet and I did it during my, cause I was home for winter break and I did it and, you know, I lost the weight and I felt great and like whatever. So I went back to school. And so, you know, what do? Like once you're on a diet and then you are like, you get the results, then like, what do? You never corrected like what was the issue in the first place. Like for me, I was always so active when I was younger. Like I did soccer, cheerleading, dance. And then I went to college. I wasn't doing those things and I was eating the same way, which was a lot of like mindless eating and junk food and this and that. So I just felt like that just started the vicious dieting cycle. And I was in that for, I would say, most of my 20s. And it was just not fun. It just felt like it was continuous. And I feel like I developed so many unhealthy eating behaviors and just like an unhealthy relationship with food. So when I came home from school and like I graduated, I was living at home. I remember I like put on weight again. And I think it was just, I was in limbo. Like I was working at Lululemon, which was the biggest blessing because it made me realize that I wanted to go into nutrition. I was working retail there. And so I applied to the NYU program that I'm part of right now. And basically, like, I didn't get in. There was something in the back end where I needed a recommendation letter. It wasn't communicated that it wasn't going to be written, whatever. Again, another blessing because I wouldn't have gone through my whole full journey had I been in grad school at such an early age. So I applied to IAN. That's when I applied, 2014. And I did the whole program. And then it's just so funny, like, obviously, you know, this too, like nutrition, wellness, health, like it goes well beyond food. Like, okay, we learned all things at IIN and all that stuff, but I was not in the mindset to kind of apply it to my personal life. I feel like I was still in that restricting and binging, and that whole vicious cycle was still there. And so I ended up like getting a job in corporate at Nielsen. And so that, it was fun. I was a membership representative, so I recruited homes for the ratings, and it was great. Like, I love talking to people, interviewing, this and that. So that was really good. But the problem was, I was on the road when people were home, which is when I wanted to be home. So I didn't have that life balance either. I was working evenings and I was working weekends. And so I finally got a job where I am now, which is Televisa Univision, as an inventory manager. So I manage our commercials for one of our networks. And that was exciting. I finally got the work-life balance, but then, you know, give it a year or two, I'm like, okay, this is not what I want to do long-term. I wasn't like being challenged. I wasn't doing what I loved. Like, the passion was definitely not there. It's a great field. It's just not for me. So I decided to apply to, well, let me take you back a little bit. So in 2017, I moved into the city and I had a roommate and it was great. And then I started like dating more and I met my now fiance, and he was almost like a mirror to my own eating behaviors. Because another thing is, like, sometimes we have these behaviors and you don't know, like, there's no awareness. Like, no one's saying like, okay, your eating patterns are unhealthy. You're not like, my eating patterns are unhealthy, let me continue this like restricting and over-exercising. So I woke up one day and I was like, I'm done. Like, I quit. I need to trust my body. Like, this is the body I've been in the past 27 years. Like, why do I think it's going to fail me? Like, we have these innate cues, which I later realized, like our hunger and satiety cues, these things are in us. And, you know, when we're a child and we want something, like, our parents are like, no, no, like, they let us have it. And we have this relationship that it starts at such a young age. But little things like going on a diet or, you know, just the societal norms, like, make it kind of just get us off track. So I basically decided to do that. And I wanted to continue dating my now fiance. And we were going on dates and going out to eat. And I was like, this is no fun. Like, all right, I'm having coffee with coconut oil in the morning and like a bar for lunch. And that is just not fun. And I started thinking down the line, like, ew, is this the example like I want to give my children one day? And so, like, same with him. He would do all this like over exercising and basically like not eat a lot until we had our dinners at night together. And same thing. I was like, I need to be better just for the both of us and kind of help him through his own issues too, and kind of coach us both to developing a healthier relationship with food. So 2019 is when I reapplied to NYU to the nutrition and dietetics program, which was like, and still is, my dream program. And like a lot of successful dietitians went there. So it was just like the program I've always wanted to go to. And I was accepted. So I started spring 2020. And obviously then the pandemic came. And then it was a very, you know, sensitive time, but it was the best time for both me and James. Like, we were able to cook so much. There was no stress of getting to work and the commute and all that. And we would do like just lots of walking and, you know, just like, when you remove all the stress and do things that make you happy and you're able to nourish your body and tune into all these cues, like, it really is just such a game changer. And I mean, I'm still in the program now because I'm doing it part-time while working full-time. I graduate next May and it's exciting. It was definitely like a long-winded road to get me here, but I've never felt like more aligned.
Aw, I love that. No, that's great. It helps paint a really good picture. And I think our stories are full of a lot of different, it's a windy road. Mm-hmm. It's not a straight line. Yeah. So I think it's always really helpful to hear. I love what you talked about in terms of going from like this restricting binging to then really trusting and connecting to your body and connecting to your intuition. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us more about, for anybody listening who's maybe wanting to go into that path of like, you know, I feel like this is what I'm doing when you talk about this restriction, and I'm not sure how to listen to my body anymore. Like, what are the cues to look out for? How was it for you to go from a little bit extremes into like, okay, what does moderation look like? And I also want to just share for anybody in the audience, if this is like triggering in any way, the idea is really to help reconnect us to ourselves, right? Because society is what continues to push us in this diet culture. And then this, like, you have to look a certain way and all these things. So yeah, I'm curious if somebody's listening and they're like, okay, I get it. And like, how do I actually get there?
So I definitely would say that is now my purpose, just dealing with people who have this disordered, you know, relationship with food, because I look back and I'm like, geez, this really took so many years of my life, like 20s, when like you're out, you're doing all these things. And it was like, I was always in that vicious cycle. So I would say, and right now I'm taking like an amazing class. It's called Nutritional Aspects of Eating Disorders. So we do definitely learn about, you know, the major eating disorders, but also like disordered eating, because there is a difference. First of all, our bodies biologically need a certain amount of calories. So this is why when you reduce your intake for like an extended period of time or even weeks, your body goes into starvation mode. This is why diets really like piss me off, because no one tells you this. It's not that you failed the diet. Like, the diet is made for you to fail because of the inherent low calories that are on a diet, and like the obsession and the calorie counting and cutting food groups. Like, to have a balanced meal, we need all macronutrients. We need carbohydrates. We need fats. We need protein. So for me, like when I was restricting, I like feared carbs. Like, it was just like, I was like, oh no, all carbs are bad. And that's actually not true. You know, there's complex carbohydrates and there's simple carbohydrates. And, you know, complex carbohydrates, we need an abundant amount of them for our brain. They're our energy source. And so they contain also fiber, which we also need for digestion. These are like the things that no one tells us. So we think like, okay, I want to lose weight, we have to do that. But our body, when you're restricting and you're cutting calories and, you know, all these things, like, it will go in starvation mode. So it will retain weight, or like, that's why you feel like you lose weight and you put it back on. And we all have like a natural set point. And what happens is when we do all this like weight cycling, like the set point might become higher. So for instance, I think it's for someone who's, let's say, 200 pounds and they want to lose, let's say, like 20% of their weight. Basically, like, after you hit that, your metabolism starts to slow down. It's just the way our bodies are designed. So that's why for me, when I really was serious about quitting, I just tuned into like, okay, I've always loved breakfast. Like, what's this nonsense with me having like a bulletproof coffee, then feeling like the hunger pains, and then like, you know, bypassing them and suppressing, and then maybe having a coffee to kind of, you know, get me to lunch, and then at lunch having like a salad that I remember like, ew, I would save half of my salad then for dinner. So I would try to like have maybe like 1,000 calories. And then that's not even taking into account the over-exercise I was doing. I don't know if psych was a thing where you are. It's like a cycling studio. It's like SoulCycle kind of. I had like this like 3-month promotion and like whatever. So I remember I did that. And then I was having smoothies for dinner. So I wasn't getting like the satisfaction of actually even eating food. And like, to be honest, I wasn't even getting the results I wanted, because then on the weekends, like when I was out with my girlfriends and stuff and we would drink, like I look now, like what were the foods I would eat when I was a little bit past my point? It would be like pizza. It would be like cookies. It would be like all these things that I was restricting myself from. So I would say, if you want to like kind of start dialing in, it's just try to eat consistently. There's this thing called rules of threes. So it's like three meals, three snacks, and every 3 hours. And it just constantly keeps your metabolism going. Like, you want your metabolism to be active. You don't want to go extended amount of time without having food. So I would say start small, like maybe have like breakfast. It could be like eggs with toast and avocado. Like, that's a balanced meal. And then have like a little snack in between. So I'll tell you also, like, a snack is having like a carbohydrate with a fat or a carbohydrate with a protein. And then, okay, have a meal, have a substantial lunch, and then have, you know, a snack, and then dinner, and then another snack. Then you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. So, like, there's no need to restrict. Your body just flows and you feel good. And like, the amount of time I would spend trying to figure out these meals and calculate it and beat it and feel like my body was like a calculator. It was just nonsense, when all we have to do is trust ourselves. And also, as women, tuning into your cycles, like, we have 4 phases every month, and just, you know, you get hungrier during your luteal. It's just like science. So honor, if you are craving like a piece of chocolate or a cookie, like, have it and like move on. Don't dwell on it. Like, you also want to treat yourself with like love and respect, and you wouldn't do this to a little baby, which we once were. So like, why would we do this to ourselves now?
Yeah. I think it's such a complex thing to think about and to help people through, because, as you said, it's also not just about the food, right? As you talked about at the beginning, there is like all of the stress component to it. So it's like, you might not actually be able to tune into your intuition when you're in an environment that's really, really stressful, or you might not realize that you're, you know, going for whatever it is, or that you're skipping a meal because you're like, oh, there's just too much going on. And then there is the whole like, what society views you and how you should be healthy and all the things. Also, like, you talk about eating regularly. So I had a lot of gut health issues. This is how I got into IIN, because I went through a really tough burnout with a startup that I created here in the Bay Area. And then I was getting bloated all the time. And I was like, I actually got COVID in November 2020. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not bloated. Because basically I wasn't eating anything because I was so sick. But there was something being like, okay, the food that I am eating is making me bloated, right? Like, there's something going on there. And so I went through this whole lens more from a gut health and like how to fix a lot of those things. And as I've been going through healing that and then understanding that my hormones needed healing, and there's been a lot of weight fluctuation for me. And there's times where I'm like looking back at the journey and photos and things, and I'm like, I right now am at a heavier point in terms of like what the scale says, and I'm internally at a much healthier point in my body where like my gut health is so much better, my hormones are getting balanced, like I'm still working on my thyroid and on a lot of different things, and my metabolism and thyroid have also been responding to like all the stresses and all the things that I was going on. And so even though I was eating like a really clean diet and exercising really well, there was that additional component that was like suppressing energy and that was affecting me. But then from the outside, people might be like, oh, well, like, she used to look so much healthier and now she's a health coach. And there's just so much out there, especially as women.
I definitely agree. And it's like, same here. Like, I feel throughout my whole restrictive phase, like, geez, in college, I was at like my thinnest, which like I look back and I'm like, geez, I look like emaciated. Like, it was like pretty bad. And then like, after, I must have fluctuated, geez, like 40 to 50 pounds, just like constantly down, up and down. And, you know, I feel like as soon as I started doing, and obviously this is my personal journey, like, you know, everyone has their journey and challenges and stuff. But as soon as I started just treating myself with more love, I would wake up at like 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning to get a workout in. Like, I hate doing workouts that early. Like, I now realize, no, I'm not doing that anymore. So I realized, like, okay, I'd rather do a lunchtime workout or an evening workout. And for me, like, I've just been really into Pilates and walking now, like just more of a low impact, and it causes less stress on my body, and it's what works for me. Like there was a point in time when I think I ran like 8 half marathons. And when I started grad school, for like time purposes, I just can't schedule it into my, you know, itinerary. But yeah, that's a lot. But I like running, but sometimes I question like, what was my motive for doing all of those? And it was when I was at my heaviest, and I thought like in my mind, like, okay, if I run all these miles, then I must be burning these calories. And, you know, if I just eat low, and like that whole thing, and like not tuning into, you know, our bodies for joyful movement, not giving us, you know, joy, like in the foods we eat. Like you can go out to dinner and have a nice glass of wine, bread on the table, like a piece of chocolate dessert. But when you're restricting, you want to do that and you want to do more because your body's like, oh, feed me. Like I haven't had this all week. And, you know, and honestly, like the whole thing where like, okay, on Fridays to Sundays, I eat whatever I want, but Mondays through Thursdays, I eat clean. That also is a form of restriction as well. I later realized like that also, you know, you can have a piece of pizza on a Tuesday. Like the other day, I did like a class around here, and then around, it was like, I didn't even eat lunch, but I walked by Van Leeuwen and they had this like flavor that looked like really good. It was like a banana bread something. And like, I went in, I'm like, oh, can I sample it? And like, I didn't really like it. So I tried this like dulce de leche, like walnut cookie chip, and it was so good. So I got myself like a little cup and I just like had it when I came home. I would have never done that ever like 10 years ago because I'd be thinking like, oh my God, like I just worked out. I'm not going to ruin my workout. I'm not going to ruin my diet. It's a Wednesday. It was like, nope, that's it. I had it. I enjoyed it and I moved on. And it's just, I feel like once you start to shift your mindset to more of abundance versus scarcity, like everything starts to just connect and just your way of living changes too.
Yeah, I love that. I think the other thing, the way I really experienced restriction was through gut health protocols and going through so many like elimination diets for SIBO and all these things. And it was just like basically from November 2020 until end of last year, I was on like different protocols and different. And even though I learned all these things, right? And I'm like, connect to your intuition. And this is so much about from an energetic perspective, what I'm about too. Sometimes it's really important to find the right person to work with, because sometimes when we're like working with an expert, it can be kind of giving our power away of like, okay, well, you tell me what I'm supposed to, like you create my meal plan and you create all these things, and then we don't tune in, right? And I had different people tell me different things about gluten, and I could really tell that I felt better off of it, but also I'm French and like literally bread and butter is what I grew up on. So there are so many things, because like it was really helpful to then get lab results and understand that my thyroid and like I was on like borders of Hashimoto's and certain markers so that I needed to let go of gluten. And then to also be like, okay, let me try that and understand how I feel. Right. And like just seeing the inflammation lower little by little, it's like, and it takes time because it really, there is so many things on social media. It's like, just stop these things for 2 weeks and like all your problems will go away. And it's really not like that.
No, I love that you touched on that, because I went to a conference in February. It was like an integrative conference and it was great. Loved it. Definitely go back next year. But like, there was a doctor there that was talking about like pain in our body and all this stuff. And he was really big on like, okay, cut sugar, gluten, and dairy, and everything will go away. And if you have gluten, you'll feel the pain for 4 weeks. If you have sugar, 6 weeks, and all this. And it was like, okay, I respect that perspective, but it's also very fear-mongering. And, you know,
yeah,
it could be so triggering. And I just feel like it's really not for everyone. Like, yes, if you have a clinical diagnosis, totally. Like there's been studies that gluten helps with, you know, autoimmune diseases, and decreasing gluten helps with autoimmune diseases and all that stuff. You know, if you're just cutting gluten just because, like, there may not be no need. And then you're restricting yourself from something. Like you said, you love bread, but you've seen how maybe not having gluten actually helps your health and your well-being. But if you're just cutting it just because, then you're actually kind of stripping that joy away from it too, you know? So I think being able to kind of learn from professionals, but make your own judgments too. Like, even again, I'll go back to working out, you know, intense classes like SoulCycle, they'll be like, push it to the limit. And you're going. And it's like, what if you don't want to that day? What if you have your period? I don't want to push it to the limit. You have to like establish your own boundaries with things. And at the end of the day, like, you know your body best. So I definitely agree with you a lot with that.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that. I'm a part of this like gym, it's called the Bay Club in the Bay Area, and they have a bunch of classes. And one of them is very similar to like an Orange Theory class where it's like cardio and weights. And I used to love like Orange Theory, Barry, SoulCycle, all these things. And because my thyroid, I have hypothyroidism, and like I need to be mindful of it, cardio is something that I have to be a little careful. And I love running. Like, I've ran also a lot of half marathons. And so it's been now like understanding, one, my cycle and when it can be really beneficial for me to actually add in cardio and those things. But the other day I was in the class and she was like, she looked at me. I was on the rowing machine. She looked at me and she was like, come on, like, let's go. And it was so judgmental and so rude. And I was like, I'm like the most competitive person and I'm doing everything I can to not get my heart rate like higher than 160. And I have a Garmin watch to watch that. And like seeing her do that was just so rude.
Like, F you, like, you don't know what's going on. I know. It's true. And I agree. Like, I think there's a time in your cycle when the high intensity exercise could be good. Like, sometimes I just have so much energy and I'll go to Barry's down the street and it's like, it feels so good. And again, it's a celebration of what your body can do. Like, for men, it's different. They don't have all these, you know, cycles and phases and all this stuff. But like, for women, like, it's a little windows where you can actually push your body to whatever limit is your limit. And yeah, then there's times where it's like, don't tell me to go faster or to row or to, you know, it's like, no.
Yeah, exactly. There's a book I read. I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast before, but it's, I forget her name, this doctor, but it's Fast Like a Girl. Ooh. Have you heard of it? I'll add it in the show notes. But she talks about the like fasting cycles for women. So like when in our cycles, it could be beneficial to have a little bit of like intermittent fasting and like the times that it's really helpful to push your body fully. And it's so funny because I always knew that on like day one or two of my period, I actually loved going for a run and it was like helpful for cramps and all these things. And then I worked with a like Ayurvedic doctor who was like, no, like on your period, like don't do anything. Like you need to like stay in and don't do anything. But then I read it, this Fast Like a Girl. And she talks about how like day one through five, you actually like is the best day to run a half marathon in terms of what's going on with your hormones and that you can like push yourself. And I was like, oh, okay. So like I stopped listening to the fact that going for a run on my period, even though I really don't want to, actually really helps my body because somebody else was like, no, in like our traditional culture, it doesn't happen this way. To then read something again, being like, oh, right. Like, yes, I actually really felt what she was saying. Right.
No, it's true. And I think things like this happen all the times. I'm with you in that when I have my period, I need to move. Like, I can't just sit here and I just feel like very sluggish and it's not good for my, I guess, my mental health, my physical health. So I go on like long walks when I have my period and I love doing that. But it's true. And I think it just is very telling of like why people who aren't in like the nutrition field can be so confused because they get like these different opposing views all the time. And they're like, now what? And this is when you tune in and you're like, okay, like, you know what? Like I have both like sides and I'm going to make an informed decision about what's best for me.
Yeah, I think that's really important that you said that. And that's really the whole point of this conversation, right? It's like we're sharing different points of view and sharing your story for people to then be able to understand like, okay, I resonate with these parts and like this I can understand and this I'm just going to let it go because it doesn't apply to me. Like maybe you love doing HIIT every, other day and like it's really good for you. And that's awesome.
Right. Exactly. And again, if you're like an Olympian or something, yeah, like you have no choice. You're going to do this every day. Like this is not relevant. But right. Like agreed. And also, you know, time too. Like some people just, they don't have time. They travel a lot for work. They have a busy life. Yeah. So I can see like, okay, like I want to get a workout in and they'll schedule their favorite workout, which may be a high intensity workout, or they're paying for something. They're like, okay, like maybe I want to pay $40 for like a Barry's class than a Pilates class because it makes me happier. And like, that's understandable too. So yes, I totally agree. I think in the end, we all have to do what's best for our bodies, but we just have to be able to like tune in and really get to the core of it and kind of tune out all the fluff around what, you know, society says and trends and, you know, all these other things.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, outside of food and exercise, what are some things that whether you do or encourage your clients to do to feel good and inside their bodies?
Sure. I love meditating. I did this a lot during the pandemic and I was like so consistent. And sometimes people think of like meditation and they think like, okay, like who has times or like my mornings are so busy or like whatever, but like you can really squeeze it in whenever. I feel like that's my thing. Sometimes I'm so tired in the morning and I'm running a little late. Like, no, I'm not doing the meditation, but I'll put on like a guided meditation when I'm walking to the bus, or, you know, I'll do it in my bed before I go to bed at night. Or if I'm home, like it'll be part of my lunch break. So kind of just squeezing it in where you can. I definitely think that's important. And I would say like reading. I love books. Like I just like every time I see, like I definitely want to check that book out you said. So I always just order them and then I have them in my bookshelf. And then every month I just pick like a new one to read. And sometimes I can't get to the physical, so I'll do the Audible version of it and whatever. So I think that's helpful. And then I definitely love journaling, like when you have all these thoughts and especially when you're conflicted and you really need to tune in and kind of really get out of your intuition. I think like journaling is so, so powerful. And then other than that, I think like for fun, my fiance and I love going on walks. We walk, like sometimes we'll just walk across a bridge, which is really fun, and we'll stop on the way. Like breakfast, we'll get like a coffee, we'll do lunch, we'll grab a glass of wine. So like just like little activities like that make me so happy, like trying new restaurants. I would say those things make me really happy.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. Mabel, it's been such a good conversation. I'm so excited for people to hear it. We end every episode of the show with a few questions that I ask everybody. It's not like rapid fire or anything. You can take your time. Okay. But the first one is, what unlocks your vitality these days?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So I purposely haven't like really listened to endings of your podcast because I didn't want to have these like premeditated responses.
Oh my God, I love that.
But I would say what unlocks my vitality is just having like a full cup, with the things I can control. For me, like right now, I think I'm in my happiest knowing that I'm working towards a career that I love and I'm like, I can help people and just like talking about food. Like I get like really like into it and nerdy. And I think that just makes me just so happy and being surrounded by like love. I'm big on love too. Like friends, family, just like personal, like it's big.
Beautiful. I love that. The next one is, what are you saying no to these days? What's something you've had to say no to?
You know, what I would say is I say no to like having like a really jam-packed schedule and not having like any me time. I realized like I can't operate if I don't even have, like last night I went and got a manicure and pedicure, and sometimes James comes with me and gets a pedicure. Like he was not invited. Like it was just, I needed my me time and like that, like I just need to have like some sort of me time. So saying no to like a very busy schedule.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Same. The next one's a fun one. What is on your nightstand?
Ooh, yeah. So I recently got like the stadium seating. So I put like my probiotics there because I have them first thing in the morning. I do like wake, take, hydrate. And then I have my magnesium. I have my like lavender CBD like roller oil. I always have like this glass of water next to my nightstand.
I literally have the same one. Oh my God.
Isn't it the best?
Yeah, it's
fine. First of all, this is like $2. And yeah. Like, it has like the metrics here so you can keep track of your water intake. It's like, I can't get enough of this. So I would say that. And then just like my lamp, a book, my phone, and that's it.
Yeah, love it. And for people who are not watching and listening, it's just like the really big mason jars, the glass.
32, I think it is. Yeah, 32 ounces.
Yeah, I love that. The last one is, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Do not restrict. And also just always follow your heart with like every different aspect of life and your intuition, like when it comes to relationships, when it comes to careers, when it comes to friendships, that for sure, that would be my advice.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. We will add all the info about where to follow you and everything in the show notes. But is there anything that you want to share about how people could just follow your work and get involved?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So my Instagram is like @_beautyinthegreens. And I have a monthly newsletter. It's linked in my bio. That's my like first baby. Don't have babies.
Aww.
Like I love it. I was a journalism major, so I pour my heart into it. And I periodically take one-on-ones too. So I would say those are mainly it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you on. And I can't wait for everybody to listen to the episode.
This was so much fun. You know, the universe really had our back last week because I feel like this was just more flowy anyway. And yes.
100%. I agree. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. If you are enjoying the show, please feel free to rate and review, share it with a friend. This is truly how we are able to grow. So whether you are listening on Kajabi directly, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or on Google, any way that you can just share it with a friend, and even through social media, letting us know what you loved about it, what you got out of the episode. And if you haven't yet, you can subscribe or rate and review depending on all the places that you get your podcasts. But I just wanted to say a big, big thank you. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to, or if you've been here for a while, or if you've been here since the very beginning, Unlocking My Vitality has been a beautiful journey into learning, actually. And this podcast has really helped me learn through different people, through your feedback, through, yeah, just seeing and hearing beautiful women and the work that they're doing and sharing it with the world. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.